It's honestly become like part of my daily sort of self-care ritual. Like I have alarms on my phone for certain things, like remember to take your medication and remember to stay hydrated and drink lots of water and make sure you eat your lunch today so you don't get hungry and tired and low blood sugar. And I have an alarm in the evening that says, you know, make sure you do your gratitude journaling, because it is such a vital part of my, I don't know, wellness regime. I have to, it's part of my self-care now. It's part of keeping myself mentally and physically healthy.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to another special episode with another Circle of Joy award winner. Her name is quite a common fairy. Oh, no, I'm kidding. Her name is Dorothy. And she has been journaling in Justin's gratitude app for more than 60 days now. And her consistency is definitely admirable. And I want us to get to know a little bit more about her story, about what got her to start this gratitude journaling, and what are some of her secrets, why, how she's able to actually keep this consistency. So, Dorothy, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's very nice to be here.
Thank you for accepting our invitation. So, firstly, let our audience know more about you, what you're doing right now, and just some things that our audience might find interesting about you.
Sure. Well, I am a mom and a wife and a teacher. And right now, I live on the East Coast of the United States of America. But in about 3 weeks, I am going to be moving to a snowy mountain village in the Midwest, where I'm going to begin a new teaching endeavor. I'm a theater teacher. I've been a theater teacher for 16 years now. Really, really love it. My students are like my children. My two actual biological children are delightful. I have a daughter who's 11 and a son who is 7. And my husband is a comic book illustrator.
Wow, that's amazing. A family of artists, isn't it?
It is. It really is. All of my family enjoys theater and music and dance and art. So hardly a day goes by without someone creating something in our household.
Wow, I love it. I love it. I think it's amazing that you were courageous enough to go for such careers, both of you. And I think I speak for our audience as well, like for the inner child that maybe wanted to play, to do something creative, but it wasn't like, okay, but you're not going to live your life out of this, isn't it?
Oh, there's always so many ways to make it work. There's always so many things that you can do. But if you love your artwork, then you can't not let it be a part of your life. Even if you're not making the kind of money that you wish you were making off of it, there's always ways to make ends meet. There's always other things that you can do to squeak by. Because at least as far as I'm concerned, like, I would rather live a simple life and do things that I enjoy every day than live in a exquisitely fantastic, fancy, rich house and have a job that makes me miserable and I just, you know, feel dead inside. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I totally resonate with that, because at the end of the day, if you weigh things, if you think about them, if most of your time you're spending it doing something that you don't like that actually drains you, and you only get to enjoy some things that are, I don't know, better than average. I don't know if it adds up. And indeed,
no, I agree.
Yeah,
I listen to many podcasts, not just this one. but one of the other podcasts that I was listening to was discussing scientific studies have shown that happiness is much more connected to our experiences than it is to our possessions, and that, like, when people suddenly come into a large sum of money, like let's say you win the lottery or you get a big bonus for the holidays or something, rather than spending that money on items, like new stuff, people who spend that money on like taking a trip or going somewhere together as a family, even if it's just like to an amusement park or something, just the joy that comes from having created that memory with people that you love makes you happier than if you had spent the money on an item that you would be able to keep for a longer period of time. Which is so funny because you would sort of think logically that the thing that lasts longest would make you the happiest, but it's not that way. Like the things that you experience, even when they're just so fleeting, those are actually the things that make us happier in the long run and keep us healthier and in a better, more positive mind frame.
That's so interesting. I love this perspective. And I think it's very, very fascinating because, like you said, you would think that the thing that lasts longer will actually bring us more joy, more positivity. But I think this relates beautifully with gratitude. Like the thing that lasts for a shorter amount of time, I think we appreciate it more.
I think so too.
Since we know it's just for a couple of days, for instance, we are much more present. We are much more aware of the new things, of the beautiful things that are happening around us, and we are more grateful. And
yes,
that's really cool.
And that's one of my favorite gratitude journaling prompts on the 365 application that I use, is that one of the prompts that comes up so often is titled "This Too Shall Pass." And you know, it's all about focusing on what's happening right now, because if it's bad, don't worry about it. It's not going to last forever. It's going to pass, and you will be free of the pain that you are, you know, living through right now. But also, on the other side of that coin, if it's beautiful and wonderful, it is going to pass. It's not going to last forever. So enjoy it, embrace it, live with it right now. Like really experience it while it's happening, because it's not going to last forever, and you need to soak it all in while you have it.
Yeah, that's such a powerful perspective. And when you think about it, it's actually these kinds of moments that we remember and that we truly cherish. And yeah, I love it. And since we got to gratitude journaling, I'm really curious of some of the things that you write in your gratitude journal. Like what are you grateful for usually?
Well, my favorite part of the journaling is of course the part at the end where you always want to list three things that you're grateful for every day. So that's my favorite thing, and it ranges just every single day. It can change. It could change from "I had a really delicious cookie today" to "I'm grateful for my children's health and that, you know, my children were born into this world without any huge complications, without any huge health problems." And I'm very, very grateful for that. So, I mean, it's big things, it's little things, it's things in the moment. Sometimes it's just, "I'm grateful for how beautiful the leaves looked today on my drive to school," because they were all red and orange and yellow and so pretty. So it's just a question of perspective and just taking a few minutes to direct your mind to something positive. And I usually do it at the end of the day. So even if I've had a rough day and lots of things have gone wrong, I have to finish the day by picking through the rubble and trying to find these little sparkly pieces of goodness somewhere inside my day. And what normally happens is I end up, especially on the bad days, I end up coming with more than the original three that I wanted to find, because they'll start like doing a domino effect. Like I'll think of something that made me feel better. Like I'll had a bad day and I'll think about something that I can be grateful for. And then finally I'll, oh yeah, this happened. This is great. I will write this down. And then as I'm writing it down, I'm like, oh yeah. And then this happened too. That was another really great thing that happened about today. Oh, and then this happened. And just somehow I will end up with like six great things where I thought I wasn't going to have anything because I thought I had such a terrible day. And then I'm like, you know what? Today wasn't actually that bad. I actually had some really nice high points and there were struggles, but I made it through. And look, here I am, safe and sound, writing about happy things in my gratitude journal once again.
I love how you see things, and I could totally feel your position, like that kind of moment in which after a day of struggle, when you get to be back in your cozy place and find those things that you're grateful for, and realize that in fact, I think this builds immense resilience, because you know in that moment that even if in the future you will have similar days, you know that you'll get back to your cozy place and you will be able to find those things that went right and that you're grateful for. I think this is amazing.
Well, it's definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah, I can see how and why. It makes a lot of sense.
It's honestly become like part of my daily sort of self-care ritual. Like I have alarms on my phone for certain things, like remember to take your medication and remember to stay hydrated and drink lots of water and make sure you eat your lunch today so you don't get hungry and tired and low blood sugar. And I have an alarm in the evening that says, you know, make sure you do your gratitude journaling, because it is such a vital part of my, I don't know, wellness regime. It's part of my self-care now. It's part of keeping myself mentally and physically healthy. If I don't do it, then I don't know. I don't know what would happen if I don't do it. I don't want to not do it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really not it's not an option. It's like you do it. It's yeah. Just like breathing. You have to do it. It's part of who you are as a person. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And on busy days, I'll like stay up really late to get it done. And my husband's like, baby, it's so late. Come to bed. And I'm like, no, I have to do my gratitude journaling first.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's something, gratitude journaling and I think self-care in general is something that you do for yourself, but it's actually helpful for, especially for the people that you love. Like I've seen this in my life as well. When I took the time to make sure that I'm feeling good, that I'm centered, that I'm in a good vibe and everything, even though it might have taken from other activities like the time to do this, it's so much better to when you get to interact with other people, being in a positive state, in a centered state, rather than just doing things and not being okay, being, I don't know, more chaotic and more all over the place.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I always say, like, especially to my husband when he gets tired and overworked, or to my students when they start to feel very overwhelmed with all the things they have to do for school, I say, you cannot pour from an empty pitcher, my friend. You have to take some time and fill yourself back up again. You have to take some time and make sure that you are whole and healthy and centered before you start trying to spend your energy out in the world around you.
Exactly, exactly. Because the tendency, it's really hard for something to positive to come out from this kind of experience. And yeah, I think it's great that you're taking the time, even if you're tired. And also, I love the idea with the reminder, because we might forget, like when you have lots of things going on and maybe all kinds of spontaneous things that we might do, or I don't know, we meet people or we go to events or we do all kinds of stuff that aren't like usual. We tend to forget about some of the habits that we have. And I think this is a really good tip for our listeners to set up a reminder for their gratitude journaling, because it's much easier than to think about it. Like for me, having a calendar, for instance, and using it is very, very helpful, because I don't have to think to be all the time aware. Do I have a meeting today at, I don't know, what time, or things like this? I put it there and I can just look over the calendar and I know it's there, and I don't have to remember everything. I don't know if it's the case for everyone, but for me it's very tiring to have to remember all the time to do some things.
Oh yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm being pulled in I don't know, 15 different directions. I've got stuff that I have to do for my kids and stuff that I have to do for work and, you know, stuff that I have to do for me and doctor's appointments and this and that and just absolutely everything else. So it is nice to take just a few minutes. And I think that's what most people forget, is that they're like, oh, this is going to be such a chore. I'm just going to have to spend so much time doing it. Oh, but it's not. It takes minutes, just a few minutes. And I mean, since when did you stop being worth just a few minutes? You give hours of your time to people all around you every single day. Like every moment of your waking life as an adult is usually given to someone else. You're giving it to your children. You're giving it to people at work. You're giving it to your colleagues. You give all of your energy and all of your attention to things outside of yourself. Why is it so horrible to take 5 minutes and just give your attention and your energy to yourself? I don't think there's anything wrong or bad or selfish with that. I think it's vital. I think it's necessary.
Definitely. And I love how you said it. It's very impactful. And yeah, I love it. I love the fact that I can feel that it comes from the heart and from your own experience. And I also wanted to ask you something about how you actually got to journaling about the things that you're grateful for. Did you have like an event, or what has gotten you to start this habit?
I did. I had a really awesome therapist who has been helping me. I last summer, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and generalized depression and anxiety. And I had known that this was something that I was struggling with, even though I didn't have a name for it. Probably since I'd had my children, because I had fairly bad postpartum depression with my daughter. So I had a therapist who finally said, let's get you fully tested and screened and figure out just what exactly is going on. And once all of the chemical imbalances were addressed and medication had been issued to deal with the part of it that was beyond my control, then she said, you know, all right, now we have to come at it from the cognitive behavioral angle. And you have to realize that the medicine can only do so much the rest of this is up to you, and you must take steps to control your own thoughts and your own reactions so that you do not allow this to like dictate the direction of your life. So from that point, she said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to spend some time every day focusing on the positive. And she said, I don't really care how you do it or what you do, but take some time every day to think about something that you are grateful for or something that makes you happy, and spend some time on that. So I just sort of naturally turned to journaling because I used to write a lot of diaries when I was a little kid. I still have just stacks and stacks of the little diary journals that I kept when I was younger. So I started looking around on my phone at the app store to see what sort of things were highly recommended, what sort of things looked like they were a good fit for me. And I found 365 gratitude. And I said, well, this sounds absolutely perfect. So installed the app and haven't looked back since.
Amazing. Amazing. I think that's such great advice that you received. And I think it's so important. Like, in my opinion, the most impactful thing that we can do is basically the things that are closest to us, like the things that are within us, I think are most impactful. What I mean by this is what we think, what we feel, and of course the things that are outside of us have an impact as well, like I don't know, what we eat, the medication that we take, and all kinds of things. But I think the most powerful thing is inside of us, and what we have most control of, and what we can really influence powerfully. And I love the fact that you've been given this advice, and that you've followed it beautifully. And I hope that this is going to inspire many, many other people that maybe are going through these kinds of situations as well, because it's, yeah, why should I talk about it? Let us know, actually, how was it for you? Like, how is your life now compared to how it was 60, 70 days ago?
I feel less a feeling of powerlessness. Like before, I often felt so trapped when things would go wrong. If my car broke down, if we didn't have enough money to pay a bill, if someone got sick and we didn't have the money for medicine, if something bad would happen, I would feel so powerless and so trapped and so angry and just so mad that there were all these things around me that I couldn't control. And I felt guilty all the time. Like, I'm sorry I'm not doing more. I'm sorry that I'm not fixing this problem. I'm sorry that I can't fix this problem. I'm sorry that I don't know what to do here. So it was all just a lot of negativity just swirling around me, and I felt very, very trapped. But now there's a space. Like, it's not like the negativity is all gone. Like, the world is still the world, and there's still bad things happening, and there's still problems that I encounter, and there's still things that go wrong every single day.
Yeah.
But there is a space between that and me, because that's over there and I can't control that. There's only one thing that I can control, and that's me and how I react and how I respond and how much I let that impact me, and if I let it control me, or if I find another way to come at the problem. Or, you know, sometimes you don't even have to fix the whole problem. You can just say, I'm going to do what I can do right now, and then I'm going to go to sleep because tomorrow is another day, and I can come at it again tomorrow, and maybe things will have changed. Maybe I'll get a new idea. But there's a faith and a trust that you start to have in yourself when you take the time to do gratitude journaling, because you're like building up a connection where you know that you won't let yourself down, because in the end, you will find a way to fix it because you know how to find the positive. You know how to turn it into something that is a strength, something that you can grow from. You know how to do it. You write about it. You find the positive. You focus on that. You find the things that you can control, and you focus on that. And that's the best way to deal with it.
Amazing. Amazing. And I totally agree with this perspective, because even though gratitude has been talked about quite a lot when it comes to the law of attraction and getting the things you want, and it works in that way too. But what I think this kind of positive movement isn't telling us is that we still have problems. We still have difficulties of different kinds. We still get anxiety, and we still can still get depressed, and we still have to deal with all kinds of problems. And if we are attracting better things, that doesn't mean that we are only attracting good things. At least this has been my experience, and also the experience of me talking with more than 100 people on this. And I think it's so important what you just said, and the fact that it's actually not about not having problems. It's about being resilient, and the way we choose to see them and to face them. And I loved what you said about having the faith that tomorrow you're going to find a way. That's so important, because many people lose their sleep over all kinds of things that maybe if they would just rest and look for solutions in the morning, they will find them. And also with gratitude being such a great tool for balancing things out, because when we have a problem, we tend to think it's bigger than us, and we tend to give it more power than it actually deserves. And when we see that we have all kinds of things to be grateful for, this balances things, and we realize that we have the power to change it, to do something about it, or just to be okay with how things are at this moment, and have the kind of faith that actually helps us get to the next level and to solve it at one point. So I love what you just said.
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
Thank you. So we are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you about the people in your life. Like, who are the people in your life that you're grateful for, and what makes you feel grateful for when you think about them?
Oh, golly. I am grateful for my children, mostly because they help me understand myself and my husband a little bit better. It's like being able to look into this window of the past and see myself as I was with so much more clarity. Like both my kids are just like little versions of my husband and little versions of me. And it's like, now I understand why I am the way I am. Now I know why my husband is the way he is, because this is what you were like as a child. I get it. But they bring such unexpected surprises to my life. And I'm very, very grateful for that, because it keeps me learning things. And that's, I think, the best and most interesting part of being a human being and being alive is getting to learn new things. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful for my children and the things that they teach me and the surprises that they bring me every day. And I am definitely grateful for my husband because he has shown me a patience and a support that I have never encountered in another human being in my life. He has never once flinched at when I needed calming or reassurance or stabilizing. He's an anchor. He's a balancing act for me. Like, in some ways we're so very different, but because of the difference, he keeps me balanced. And I think that's, yeah, I'm really grateful for that. And I'm vastly grateful to my students because every single one of them teaches me something. All of them have just these little nuggets of wisdom and experience and knowledge and insight. And it makes me realize how big the world is and how many people there are and how there's just so many perspectives on things. I think we sometimes forget and get so wrapped up in our own worlds with our friends who all kind of think the same way we do and they see things the same way we do. And we're very used to hanging out with those people who see things the way we do. So I'm very grateful that I get to, on a daily basis, be exposed to and get to work with people who are so different from me, who can give me such incredible insight into all the variety of the human experience. Just every facet of what it means to be a human being. And I'm very, very grateful for that.
Amazing.
So yeah, that's it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for opening so much to us and for us, and for taking the time to be here with us and for sharing these amazing perspectives. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy, so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Me as well. Thank you.
Thank you.